The early church almost universally interpreted the scriptures with something called allegory, which is not used as much today, but the gospel writers also wrote in allegory, so we are behind the eight ball if we don't understand it a little bit. Jesus is using an image about us being many people being caught by surprise, I guess, that God, first of all, that God exists, and secondly, that suddenly we're there. And he uses this image of the first, second, or third watch. In other places, it uses other designations like cock crow and midnight and this sort of thing. They all refer to designations or ways in which time is distributed. And of course, in addition to what one is, each one represents a certain era of life in the context of the gospel, which is an allegorical leap or interpretation. And this is how we make the gospel relevant to us, by it invites us to think a little deeper as to what Christ is saying to you and me in particular. So one phase, would be the first watch would be our childhood, the second watch adulthood, the prime of life, and which would be from noon to dusk, and then dawn to noon, noon to dusk, and then dusk to midnight would be the third watch of night. And people are called at all of them. You know, I've baptized a couple of twins that were baptized, I should say they were buried at Queen of Peace many years ago, and at Bellcrest, two little caskets, they weren't expected to pass away, and very, very sad, lots of little animals and things, you know, stuffed animals and things. Everybody was crying. And I've also buried somebody who was 103. So you ask the question, there's a mystery of life in that, which I don't have to say to you. And last Mass, two of my sisters were both born on this day. The last Mass was in their honor. They died almost 48 years apart, but there's a mystery of life there too for me personally. So our Lord uses these kinds of things to really help us to think about life. And these two images that he's using, one is not as obvious and one is very obvious. In the first one, the master returning to a wedding, who is then knocking at the door. These weddings, of course, lasted a week. I was in Jordan last year. We happened to run into a wedding, a party, that weren't too happy to find us there at the time. And you may remember that they last a week there. So apparently the Semitic peoples there are still doing this, much to my surprise. I don't know who pays for this. That's what I want to know. But maybe they all brought food, or something. But in any case, they used to play this game in which the bridegroom tried to catch people by surprise, and if they were outside looking at the wrong door, they got locked out for a while. And if they caught the bridegroom sneaking in, they'd get a reward. So he would tend to come in the later hours when they got tired of waiting. They'd go in and get something to eat, and there he is, that sort of thing. So Jesus compares that by saying, you may think I'm coming at this time and get all prepared, and then it's over. I probably shouldn't bring this up, but I watched something about 9/11 last night. I shouldn't have, because I couldn't sleep afterward. But it's an example all of us share that are above a certain age of how things can catch us by surprise in the brevity of life. But one doesn't have to go there to find many examples of this. And the second example is of a steward in charge of his master's property. The master is coming and going, and the steward, he was a slave, okay? He was a head slave. In Israel, slaves would be voluntary because they were trying to get out from under a debt, and after 7 years, your debt would be excused. That would be a common thing. It was actually a good thing for many people. And then there would be a debt holiday every so often, and then people would get off. So this was the situation. There was no forced slavery in Israel. But he would be, he got used to his master's coming and goings. He began to start nipping at the house wine and began to boss the other the other servants around and showing, making his authority known. Have you ever had a boss like this? I had 10 of them at the airline and a bunch more at the libraries to work for and other jobs you've never heard of that aren't as interesting. And some are, you know, some were really bossy and some stepped on toes to get ahead and, you know, so he was one of those icky bosses that nobody wants to ever see. And you know, he began to get drunk on his master's wine, and maybe somebody turned him in, and the master decided to catch him. And he was drunk. The master came home. Remind you of, I don't know if any of you did this, but don't tell me after Mass maybe, but you know, the parents go away for the weekend, and you're in high school, and you have a party at the house. Or you caught your kids doing it. Yeah. Now, I see a lot of heads bobbing on that one, but you won't admit you did it. But, you know, it's that kind of a thing. And of course, this guy is bounced. He gets thrown out and says, don't bother asking me for a reference either because you're out. And our Lord says, you know, he gives us a whole lifetime to get it right. He says, it pleases me to let you in. You know, this whole thing about being beaten severely, it really refers to the fact that we lost something extremely valuable. We lost a chance of a lifetime because we were goofing around and weren't listening to the gospel. Some have not heard the gospel and are getting off easier than those of us who know how to get rich in heaven and haven't done anything about it. For crying out loud, it's so easy, and we're expected to be working on this. So our Lord... People make the mistake of thinking he's not there, he's not listening, he's not coming, and we begin to get away with more and more, and we think that we'll always get away with it, and one day we get caught, whether it's at work or at school, our family, life, and ultimately God. If anybody's following the news, Mr. Epstein, if you don't know what this is, I'm not going to describe it, but he hung himself in the jail, and everybody's mad because they wanted to bring him to justice. I can tell you, he found another judge, and it probably didn't go very well for him. And let's hope that God, he asked for mercy on the way between this world and next. I had my own experience of this, one of many, but the one that's funniest was, got this job at the airline, worked so hard to get this thing. It was so hard, and then I hated the thing deeply. I just couldn't stand what I was doing. I was in a call center when I first started. I got my act together and got out of that, but that was the entry-level job. And I found myself part-time, temporary. We're all praying that we can get a permanent job at that place and in full-time, obviously. And so then the air traffic controllers went on strike. President Reagan fired him, and I had a full-time job because it took, the calls were up the gazoo for weeks, and so they hired us. So I'm on probation for 3 or 6 months, I think, and I'm answering one call after the other. What's the cheapest fare? Remember, nobody had computers then? You had to call us. What's the cheapest fare? What's the cheapest? I got so sick of that word. To this day, I can't stand that word. Oh, it's like chalk on a blackboard. And one time some lady says to me, this is true, I don't make these things up. She says, imagine my reaction. What's the cheap? And I'm going, take me now, Lord. Why did I leave that monastery? And I said to her, lady, you don't need an airline. You need a veterinarian. I'd have been myself if I'd I didn't get caught. So I began to take chances. I also learned that if there was an annoying one, I had a bag under my seat there, and I'd crinkle it up there. Nobody was looking to say, oh, there's a lot of static on the line. Would you please call back? Okay, I went to confession for all this, so don't worry. But one time I had this, they called it a series of calls. Maybe all these places call this. And I had something called a Collins pad, a phone pad, and there was a little red light. And now they announce to people that they do this, but in those days they didn't. The supervisor would listen in to a series of calls, and that's how check calls, and you'd never know. And I had, my bit was to be selling these airline tickets when people called in. As I said, I hated it. I got out of it right away. But so I had this series of calls, and I got fed up, and I said, I'm not selling another ticket till I don't hear the word cheap. And I got to 14 of them in a row. I just basically blew them off, and then I finally ended the series with, God, I hate this job. And then the red light came on. She said, well, in that case, why don't you quit? Busted. That is not what the Lord wants to do to us. Busted. You know, but the truth is, some of us are going to get busted. She called me in the office, and she just kind of said, we all hate what we're doing here, but she says, please don't say it out loud. So that was, I'm actually Facebook friends with her, if you can believe this. I have a couple of good stories from that one. Anita, if you're listening, Anita, I'm sorry, but that was funny. It was true. So we, you know, those two sisters I mentioned, one is buried in L.A. and one's buried here at St. John's, Oregon City. By the way, the one in L.A. is buried about 100 feet from Sharon Tate, if you know who that is. She was died the same week. So it's really a lot of turmoil thinking of her, even after 50 years. But I used to love to go by the cemetery on my way to work, which just happened to be there, and I make the sign of the cross and pray for them. And I do that now when I seldom, but when you go by Oregon City, same thing. At each cemetery in Salem, I do this for the people there and for my family and virtually, because many of them there had plans that day. Not all. Many had plans on their, they died with their to-do list, right? Someday that to-do list is going to be undone. And the real to-do list is, God may have offered me an opportunity to get rich today. Did I recognize it? Or was I too busy, caught up with things of the world, alone? He doesn't condemn us for either wealth or pleasure or all the things that we enjoy in this world. But let's face it, it's one trial after the other, whether we like it or not. Even the uber wealthy have their problems, but they manage to get out of a lot of it, much to their loss. Because life, it is in the trials that we grow the most. It is the opportunities to serve the poor or the needy or the people around us, mainly in our families and at work and church and at home and people we run into by accident, we are being good stewards. I hope I didn't say this. If I said this last week, correct me, but I was at Fred Meyer talking to, stop me if you've heard this, Daily Mass, Sunday Mass, I can't remember. I was at Fred Meyer and chatting it up with some checker, you know, and she'd had a bad day, a lot of nasty people going through there. And she finishes with, she gave me a 10% off. And I said, what is this, senior day? I get that. And I said, why did you give me 10% off? She said, because you were so nice to me. Try it sometime. That was just amazing. And our Lord said to me, I do that all the time for you. Just wait. You know, the fools are the ones that think Christ isn't coming. They think he's delayed or he's not listening. There's no justice. Let's face it. Justice isn't meted out in this world very much. And it can make you think there's no God, but he does that on purpose. He's giving everybody time. He's not ignorant of anything. Everything's being recorded, in fact, to be played back, not only to us, but to everybody around us. So we want to make sure we're asking forgiveness, and if it's serious, sacramentally, and that hits the eraser button, or at least the effects of it are not, we're not condemned for anything we've done that we've asked forgiveness. That is a great deal. Christ can't wait to see us, but we do have to do our bit. And it really is a matter also what place we're going to have in heaven. That's even more important. I hope, please God, we're all here because we want to get in, but it's also, how do we get rich in the next world when we get off the plane? So we just ask God and we thank him that he teaches us how to avoid being caught unawares at the end of our lives, so we don't end up being busted by a red light when Anita answers the phone.